Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Really?
Yeah, I think that was one of my, you know, decisions when, you know, when I got traded from the Lakers. The Houston was one of my, you know, but they told me, Pat, we don't need you right now. You know, you might not play. We need you to mentor young guys, blah, blah, blah. So I still wanted to play, so.
The voice of Patrick Beverley as the NBA continues to talk about Harden back to Houston. Welcome back, Midday Show, 215-592-9494. Tell you off board, Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio with you. Coming up 11:30, Mike O'Connor from Rice to Ricky Sanchez is going to join us. He wrote a great column. I mean, really hit every aspect of the Sixers right now. Their reality, what Joel Embiid is, what they should do with Harden. He'll join us at 11:30, talk some Sixers here. So the Harden-Houston stuff just continues to go here. And we haven't really had our discussion on whether or not we truly want this guy back or not. It's the biggest decision the Sixers to make this offseason. Let's hear the latest, then we'll get into it here. Brian Windhorst, he really believes this is all, it's mostly just leverage games, and maybe Harden-Houston isn't as big of a thing as it's being made out to be. Here's Brian Windhorst.
That he wants to return to Houston, or is he using this as leverage, you know, against the 76ers?
Exactly the question that most of the NBA is asking. The 76ers have not shown an appetite to pay Harden the max. That's why they asked him to take a pay cut last year. The Rockets have the cap space. Do they do it? It's been a very hard rumor out there in the NBA about Harden's intent to go back to Houston, and it makes you wonder if it's being sold a little bit too hard. And that's certainly something that people are considering. I guess we're going to wait and find out. But again, just like with Kyrie, the Sixers are not really motivated to pay him that max salary if they don't think anybody else is going to do it.
Well, that's the best I've felt in a while. Maybe Daryl Morey actually has a brain down there at the Sixers facility. So here's where I'm at on this, Hugh. I don't want James Harden back. I'm just going to put it out there very simply. I don't want him back on the team. Now, if he's going to come back, obviously you'd hope he gets a lesser contract than a bigger one and a long-term one. But just bottom line, I know this is the biggest decision I have to make here. Hugh, I don't want him back on the team. Go ahead. Go to Houston.
But what are we going to do? I mean, I think that's the big – I hear what you're saying. And in a perfect world, that would be the case with me as well. But what are you going to do? We need a point guard. Right on time.
Yeah, he's ready. Well, so I think it's a fair point you bring up. If they're trying to compete next year, they really don't have another avenue to get a player better than James Harden. Right? They're kind of stuck if they let him go. But you know what? I'd rather be worse next year and not have James Harden on the team. I have watched the James Harden thing for 15 years now. The James Harden thing ends without a championship. It's a thing. Dribble, dribble. I don't want to steal Evan Roberts' line. Yeah. But I've watched him play for a long enough time to know he's a regular season stat padder. And in the playoffs, he disappears. I don't see any upside to bringing James Harden back other than, hey, we'll be a top four seed again, and we'll pretend they get out of the second round. They'll be worse if he's not here in the regular season. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, but there are still aspirations of getting to the playoffs.
I know.
I understand
that. I know.
And you know, we all talked about the gap year and everything. We still need a point guard, though. I mean, and that's the unfortunate thing about all of this. The one thing that Billy King said that I kind of, you know, held on to was the fact that, you know, he's an asset. Now, if you sign and trade him and probably get another asset, that would be great. But you're in a position where you're probably going to have to sign James Harden. Now, if you sign and trade him, that's something where, you know, that could be explored. But he's an asset that you cannot just let leave.
Well, I'm willing to do it. 215-592-9494. Let's get on the record here. We haven't had the discussion on the midday show. We've just kind of talked about blowing this thing up, and obviously Harden's been one of the people we've talked a lot about the last couple weeks because of how poorly he played in Game 6, Game 7, how that series finished. Do you want James Harden back on the Sixers? Like, it's just simple as that. Yes or no, do you want him back? Kyle, where are you on Harden and his possible return here?
Yeah, I mean, he can get lost. I would drive him back to Houston. I'm ready to blow this thing up like you, pretty much to the studs, which includes getting rid of Joel Embiid. So if I'm not here to sort of make this work with Joel Embiid, then I definitely am not willing to try and make this work with James Harden. And as I've said in shows past, I think we're probably going to need to get worse before we need to get better, or before we see ourselves get better. And that obviously includes and starts with James Harden. I mean, there's zero scenario where I am going to be happy with seeing James Harden back in a Sixers uniform next.
Well,
year.
And the other part of this is, the guys, we could pretend he's going to come back on a team-friendly contract. He did that last year.
Right.
He's not coming back for a discount.
No. He about to head crack you. He's about to get head cracked.
Well, like, even if Houston's not ready to offer the max, like, they could still offer a lot of money. Like, he's not coming back here on the cheap. It's James Harden for a lot of money.
Daryl Morey's going to have to outbid other teams. And you know, since we have his, what do they call it, the bird rights, we are the team that can pay him the most amount of dollars. So I think, you know, the reality is that Daryl Morey, if he wants to bring James Harden back, is going to have to use that advantage that he has to get him back here. And, I mean, that's a double whammy for me. Like, I don't want Houston back in general, let alone paying him the absolute max amount of dollars that he possibly can get.
See, I'm going to need both of you guys to do this. And I know it's going to be hard to do because we saw game 6 and 7.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to take emotion out of this. And you have to look at this from...
Why?
You have to look at this.
Why?
Because you have to look at this from a standpoint of how, what kind of turmoil you're going to lead your team in. He's an asset, and you have to look at him like that. And if you have a viable asset, a tradable asset, you could potentially, when you sign him, go out and trade him and get somebody else. But you have to do that because we don't have the money right now to go out and pay a point guard. We don't.
Let me ask you a question, because this happens to me sometimes. You ever hungry, but the only food available, you don't really like it?
Yeah, and you gotta eat it.
Or you don't have to eat.
Or you starve.
Or I starve.
So you starving?
I'm starving.
I don't believe that.
I would rather starve.
See, you're being emotional.
No.
No, you are. So you're being emotional.
If you put food in front of me that I James Harden, obviously in this comparison, is food I don't want to eat.
Hey.
And I understand it's the only meal I'm gonna have right now. I'll go hungry.
You learn how to eat that turd.
Listen, this is a thing I used to live by. I used to say it all the time. The Jungle Creed is the strongest feed on any prey it can. He used to do that in all aspects of life. Sometimes you just got to eat. Got to eat, man.
Yeah.
Got to eat.
Well, that eating is giving James Harden the money here, and I'm not willing to do it. 215-592-9494. Do you want James Harden back on the Sixers? It's a simple yes or no. It's the story of the offseason. We haven't had the discussion on our show yet. I don't want him back. Like, I don't care if he comes back for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever, 4 years. No. I don't want him here. I just feel like the Joel Embiid, James Harden combination is a dead end. Like, and I don't think they're actually going to trade Embiid, Hugh. I think they're going to try to make it work still with him, even though he's got a lot of his own issues. So, like, what can I change here? Like, I could change the Harden thing because he's going to opt out of his contract. That's why something could change. So we had Elliot on the show yesterday, and he did make the case for re-signing James Harden. It's kind of what Hugh is saying, that there's no other better option. Here's Elliot yesterday with us.
Yeah, so the first thing I'd say is I don't believe that Harden is going to get a max contract. I don't think Houston is going to pay him $200 million. So the money part of Harden, I think, is going to be less than people think. But regardless, it is probably going to be at least $35 million a year or something along those lines. I would pay James Harden that money. And the reason I would pay him is because the Sixers have a chance to win a title next year. And I'm not going to just let that chance walk out the door over figuring out what's going to happen in the third year of the contract. If you can get him on a 3-year deal, that third year, he's a great trade asset. Next year, they'll have a chance to win a title. And you just hope that for year two, he holds up. But I think people are underestimating how good this team is. And so I'm not going to blow that up, just let Harden walk out the door.
And that's what they would be doing. He's, I think what Elliot said at the end here would is right, and it's what you're saying too. Like, if he walks out the door, there's no really mechanism to get better in the short term.
And see, that's the unfortunate thing about the situation that we're in. That's why I say you have to look at it. When you say asset, that to me makes it a little easier.
Yeah, it's a cold word. Yeah,
because he's an asset. He's an asset right now. Whether or not you believe it, and I know I go back to game 6 and 7, and I find it hard for me to believe that I'm saying that word to describe him, but it's the truth. He's an asset. And if you do not sign him, you're in a pickle.
Yeah, well, here's the other thing, and I don't know if this is fair to Harden, but it's the reality of it. I can't have my two best players both with zero championship DNA. I can't. Like, maybe if there was a different star next to Joel Embiid, he could be the Robin, right? But they both have that look about them in big games where they just crumble. Like, how can the Sixers win when their two best guys both are not foxhole guys? Like, that I can't get past that. 215-592-9490. Let's go to the phone lines here. Your reaction to Trey Turner, has he turned the corner? And let's have the Harden discussion. Do you want Harden back on this team? Yes or no? There's certainly merit to both sides. Joe is in Mayfair. Hey, Joe.
Hey, good morning, guys. And congrats on the NHL officials giving you 3 out of 4 games going to the Cup.
Right? How about that?
The officials, man, had a lot to do with that series. I'll tell you that. It's wrong for hockey, but it was a great series. Before I get to the Sixers and Harden, Trey Turner hit a slow pitch arcing softball yesterday out of the park. I'd be worried if he missed that pitch.
So, Joe, I'm glad, before you go on, I'm glad you said it. It's true. That was a slider that didn't slide. It was like a backup cement mixer slider that just hung over there. That was if you were drawing up the perfect pitch for Trey to tee off on one, that was it.
I mean, in over 40 league beer league, I did crush that 300 feet. So good for him for hitting a pitch he's supposed to hit. I don't think he turns the corner facing the Braves for 4. Let's see what happens when you face that pitching staff for 4. Then get back to me.
Well, it's Braves and then it's Mets. I haven't looked at the Mets rotation through next week, but there's a chance he could see Scherzer and Verlander too. So there could be a lot of good pitching coming.
Yeah, because, I mean, the Braves pitching staff can cause you fits, and then you go into a bigger funk than you're already in.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to Harden, and this is the key, we don't have a head coach. You can't bring Harden back for 1 year. Your coach is going to be here at least 3 years. So whatever coach you're bringing in has to be on board, because you're bringing in a high-profile coach, to be coaching Harden for how many seasons under your offense.
Uh-huh.
Does your offense work with James Harden?
Uh-huh. So, Joe, let me stop you right there. You know, a couple of the coaches that we're talking about working with are coaches that work with James Harden. James Harden he's made it very, very clear what he needs to be here. And you know his boy is what's his name again?
D'Antoni.
D'Antoni's here, but no, the guy that's here with us, the GM.
Oh, D'Amore.
D'Amore. He's here. So if you get one of those coaches, if you get D'Antoni, he's definitely working with Harden.
But again, you're not going to be able to sell D'Antoni and Harden to the Sixers city and the fan base for 3 years.
No.
They're not worried about that.
Well, I'm going to yell about obvious. It until they are.
Of course you are, Joe. I mean, I wouldn't expect anything different.
For the last 5 to 10 years, the Flyers franchise has been a non-existent on this station. If you bring in D'Antoni and Harden, I think they plummet the fourth with the fan base. If you put a poll out there on Twitter, D'Antoni Harden for 3 years, you get less than 10% of your fan base would want that in this city. You got to blow this up. And what you need to do is find a team that'll take Harris on his last year of his contract and get a veteran point guard in here until you can figure this out. They're not beating the Celtics with Harden and Embiid. They're not beating the teams that are coming on the upswing with Harden and Embiid. Harden and Embiid are two of the biggest flops in the last 5 years in the playoffs. They've never accomplished anything separately, and they're not going to accomplish it together. So what's the point?
That, Joe, you spoke to what I feel the most. And, Joe, we appreciate the phone call. Like, that's what's getting to me. Like, it's not independent. Like, I understand the argument for Harden just independently, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they don't have a better option at point guard. He did have a good regular season. Like, it's not so much individually about James Harden. It's him and Embiid. Like, I can't do with those two.
And listen, here's the thing. We're hoping for growth when it comes to those two individuals. We thought we saw it in one game.
Mm-hmm.
It's not sustainable. I'm convinced that that is not sustainable. That is not what they want to do. You know, they say old dog, new tricks. Nah, they're not. They're not. They're setting their ways.
Well,
they're both setting their ways. They're not. They're not going to change and adapt and evolve in order to do what it takes to win a championship, in my opinion.
Yeah, and you said old dog, new tricks. I mean, Joel is a middle-aged dog, probably not going to learn new tricks. Harden's getting to be an old, I mean, literally an old dog now. Like, he's not going to learn anything. If he hasn't learned by now, it's not changing.
It's just the way you say it with so much emphasis on dog.
Well, what kind of dog would James Harden be?
A hound dog.
Like a chihuahua?
I don't know about chihuahuas. Just like,
well,
that's rude.
Like, if James Harden was a dog, it's a good question. If Harden was a dog, what kind?
Would be a dog that does not hunt.
There you go.
Yeah. Especially now. He just lays on the couch all day.
What's known for being like a lazy breed of dogs, you know?
A bulldog? The bulldog.
Bulldog still makes you sound like a badass, like you're a grinder.
It does,
go-getter.
But they are.
Until you actually see one.
Yeah, and then they just sit there and like they just.
That's a that's an off-season topic we'll get into.
Dogs?
Yeah. What kind of dog is James Harden?
Well, I think before the end of the show, someone's probably going to say it by accident. Yeah. Let's talk to Dave in Glasper. He wants Harden back. What's up, Dave?
How's it going, everybody?
Hey, Dave.
What's going on?
All right, so I'll answer the question why I want James Harden back, and then I'll explain why, and then I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Okay.
As everybody said, there's no better option that the Sixers are going to get. You blow it up, we're going right back into the process. And Harden exceeded all expectations for James Harden that we had for him this season, and he led the league in assists. Joel Embiid, we go to him and Harden. All the good those guys can do. Nobody ever said those guys are team leaders. No, not ever in either of their careers. And you have, you know, Tobias, who's a drag. You brought an older defensive replacement for Thibault, who was at least had young legs. And your bench is trash, except for DeAnthony Melton. When you look at all these other teams, including Miami, there's some other piece there. The bench is taking over. They're doing their job. Or you got a coach who's a winner. You had Joel Embiid, James Harden, and Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers can't win you a fourth game in the playoffs. The Sixers failed to get that other guy, that Jimmy Butler-type guy who's a team leader. We're mad at Joel Embiid and James Harden because, you know, we knew they were zebras and they got stripes. The management of the Sixers and the organization has failed both of their talents by not getting the piece both of those guys have needed their whole career.
Well, so I understand your point, Dave, but at some point, if the two best players are both zebras, they're not winning anything. Like, where are they getting a third player that can trump both of them? Like, they're the two highest paid players in the team and supposed to be the best players.
You got Joel Embiid and James Harden, and you had to move the only piece you could to get something in return.
Maxi?
And that was Maxi. You had to sell out with it last year, and you didn't. I don't want to go back into the bottom of the barrel, so you got to sell out this year. If you're going to win a championship, you got to go all in. Package Tobias and Maxey together, so you're basically paying for Maxey, Tobias.
Well, I mean, Dave, what you just said, if they're going to keep them together, is probably the only chance they have. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen. I'd rather blow it up, but your perspective on – like, get a third guy that could trump those two, at least it brings something different. Dave, we appreciate the phone call. Hugh, it's hard, though. Like, basically, Dave's saying, go find a third star, right, that can supersede Harden and Embiid's issues. Well, that's hard to do that. Like, unless they're getting, like, who is this? Is this Dame? They're going to just trade for Dame and let him just be the guy and have Harden and Embiid not matter as much? It's hard to find a third guy.
The one thing that Elliot says a lot that I do agree with is that when you talk about, like, pairing somebody with a winner, that's a very select few amount of guys.
Of
like,
it
you're
is.
Not just going to be able to, like, Dame Lillard has never won. Has he been further than Joel Embiid has in the postseason?
He went to the Western Conference Finals.
Like, so Dame Lillard is a guy that, and I would agree with this, that we talk about, like, he's a winning type player, but he hasn't won anything in his career.
And plus, you're talking about running back with a bunch of older players.
Yes.
That are potentially set in their ways.
So with all these guys, you're rolling the dice.
Well, you are. It just feels like the only reason people want to bring Harden back, the way I view it, is they're afraid of the alternative. And I've just accepted the reality.
What,
which
limbo?
Limbo, yeah, like stuck in the middle. But they're stuck anyway. I don't think there is a chance. And I know yesterday Elliot told us he believes they're a title contender next year. I just put the chances of them with Harden and Embiid as their two best players winning a title at barely above 0%. You could give me all their stats and numbers and 50-whatever wins, and oh, great. And I'm sure during the season next year, Daryl Morey will tell us they have a 17% chance to win the title. Zero is the number. That's it with those two guys leading the way. Saul in the Northeast. What's up, Saul?
Tell me, you don't check Elliot out whether he drinks too much before he gets on.
He seems like he's all together. I saw him here earlier.
I don't know. He's talking about the title. What is he talking about? He
smoking crack is like a great high.
That are in the finals now, and look at their composition of players that they have. They don't only have three players; they have six and seven and eight players.
And they have a culture, Saul. There's a culture.
That. We are so far away from that. That where do you use even the word title?
Well, the other part is Saul is culture too. Those teams have cultures, basketball cultures. They know how to win. This team doesn't.
Well, it's not a just, but you have to see. Do they have the capability even if they wanted to win? They don't.
Well,
they
I think there's
support.
Yeah, I think Harden and Embiid have enough talent. They're just when it comes to big moments, they shrink.
Yeah, but they have enough talent for. But they need another three, four players to supplement them. You can have all the talent you want, but you need the support. When you look at the playoffs and you see the way the other teams are playing, it's not just one or two people that have to do excellent. It's the supporting cast that makes them the winner.
Well, Saul, there is something to that. I mean, Saul, we appreciate it. Hugh, the other teams are deeper, too, than the Sixers. The Celtics, the Heat, the Nuggets, they're deeper.
And the Sixers, for whatever reason, they don't do a good job of in integrating their supporting cast, especially when they need help. It almost becomes like they're individuals once again. That's one of the things that when you I keep going back to game six, but when you go from game five to game six, where it looked like in game five they had all kinds of continuity, to go back to regress to the way that you were playing in game six, to the point where the announcers and the coach were saying they're not trusting each other. Are you kidding me? When you just unlocked the cheat code the other night, and all of a sudden you forget how to do all of that. Yeah. And go back to what you were doing before. That to me is ridiculous. You can't, like Joel Embiid said, you can't win it by yourself. Okay, we'll get everybody else involved.
Well, I mean, in the Celtics series, Hugh, Joel Embiid had 20 turnovers and 12 assists. That's
you're not helping your team by doing that.
No, you're hurting your team.
Yeah.
I mean, look, can you win with one superstar star that has questionable championship DNA? You probably can't. Can you win with two? I mean, really, no. I mean, the answer is no. I just don't believe you can. I don't want Harden here under any circumstances. 215-592-9494. Let's grab Dan, Winfield Township. What's up, Dan?
Hello, gents. How are you?
Dan, how are you?
I'm good. I'm really concerned about Elliot because he's delusional. And, you know, best buddy in there at the station, James, is worried about him because does this man really believe that they had a successful season? And to the last caller who said that James Harden exceeded expectations, no, he didn't. The expectations were, let's get at least to the conference finals. He didn't do that. They've been doing the same thing year in and year out. And frankly, I've said it for the past 2 years, you hear, you know, the host saying, oh, during the regular season, it looks like it's different. It looks like it's different. No, it only looks different. It will be different when they're in the third round. So all this stuff, and again, next year you'll see they'll go on a run. They'll win 50-some-odd games.
Yep.
It's the same cast of guys.
And then when push comes to shove and it gets hard, they fold. I mean, they just fold like a tent. I mean, they go right down. Whenever the going gets tough, and Dan, we appreciate you, that's the most disconcerting thing. It's not that they can't play.
They turtle up. Like, you don't, like, and I understand, like, listen, I understand that having the heart of a champion and not being a champion are two different things, but the heart of a champion means something.
Yes.
And the heart of a, let's just say for the sake of this argument, heart of a fighter or somebody that wants to be a champion. They didn't show any of that. They didn't show any of that.
And they never have. They never have.
I don't care what anybody says. You don't have the kind of performance that you had in a game 7 elimination series. You don't. And say sit there and say, hey, I can't do it by myself.
The worst part is the whole league knows it. Those cuts to Mazzulla on the sidelines, he's basically telling them, just keep it close till the end. Those guys will fold. Just keep it close, and they'll turtle up. Everyone knows it. 215-592-9494. No, I don't want James Harden back. Do you want Harden back on the Sixers? We'll discuss. We'll hit everyone on the phone lines. And is Trey Turner turn the corner? Do you believe Trey's turned the corner after yesterday? Yes, or need to see more? We'll get back to everyone on the phone lines, and we'll be joined by Mike O'Connor, writes to Ricky Sanchez, wrote a great column on what the Sixers should do, what they've done too much of. We'll talk to Mike about the offseason to come, Harden, Embiid, and the coach decision next, right here on the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Make a fast break to FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino during the NBA playoffs. Right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel's the best. Safe and secure. You get paid instantly. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP. I really like the FanDuel app. There's no better place to bet all the playoff action than America's number one sportsbook. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO. Get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's FanDuel.com/GIGLIO. FanDuel, official sports betting.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, 215-592-9494. We'll get back to your phone calls here on Trey Turner, on James Harden. But first, let's go out to the guest line here. Mike O'Connor from Writes to Ricky Sanchez. He wrote a great piece here on the Sixers, the offseason, and his feeling on what this team is, what they can't be any further. Let's talk to Mike about the decisions to come here. Mike, how you doing today?
Mike.
I'm good. Thank you guys for having me.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we've been talking about it all morning long. How strapped are the Sixers with James Harden, this whole situation with him potentially come back?
Yeah, I mean, the reality of it is, if they don't bring James Harden back, I mean, the team kind of goes into the wilderness a little bit, right? I mean, you have to think about, you know, maybe even 2 years, 3 years down the line to get back to that, even pretending to be a contender, right? I mean, if Harden comes back, at least you could, you know, buy into the delusion of this team winning a championship. There's no way you could talk yourself into them winning a championship if he's not back. They just don't have the flexibility. They don't have the assets to trade for anybody. So, yeah, if Harden leaves, you're talking about potentially putting a 2 or 3 year plan in place to get back to that, you know, different team, different identity, but to get back to that contender level.
But if they have him back, can they do it anyway? Because, Mike, that's what I keep coming back to. And I understand the reality of it, right? They'll be worse in the regular season. They'll have a worse seed. They'll have a less chance to win the title. But the way I view it, with Harden and Embiid together, I don't give them much chance at all to win a championship. Like, Mike, where are you? And I know you wrote in your column. Where are you with this team, this core, this group? Like, is it worth trying again?
No, I'm right with you, Joe. After we saw what we saw in that Celtics series, I mean, this was a failure of character. And I actually wrote about this before the season where, you know, every year before this one, you could talk yourself into, oh, you know, any number of excuses with this team in terms of talent or fit or whatever. This year was all about character. They had everything they needed from a talent and a fit standpoint to win the title, and they completely folded when it mattered most. And that's the thing that I just don't think you can get past. You can't talk yourself into this team after what they showed, you know, looking much different from an identity perspective next year. And that's the main problem, is the culture, the identity of this team. And James Harden is a huge part of that. And that's why I just would be totally fine with him walking away.
In your opinion, who is the front runner for potentially being the coach of this team?
Well, the reporting is that it's between Nick Nurse, Frank Vogel, and Mike Budenholzer. And out of those three, I mean, Nick Nurse would be my preference. I think he's the best option because he's just a totally different type of voice than this team has had, right? Brett Brown, Doc Rivers, they're players' coaches. They're about, you know, kind of making sure everybody gets along, keeping guys happy. Nick Nurse is not that at all. He'll call everybody out. He runs really aggressive schemes, high minutes. He's high demand, high intensity. And that's the kind of voice that I want to see this team have.
We're talking to Mike O'Connor here, Rice to Ricky Sanchez. Mike, it feels like we're coming a little bit full circle with coaching in the NBA. You know, back in the day when we were younger, it was like they ran the organization to an extent with Phil Jackson, Larry Brown, whatever. And it went so far away from that, right? Like, you know, LeBron's getting coaches changed in the middle of a season. They win a title. It just didn't matter. Do you think we're going back to that? And it kind of feels like you think the Sixers need that. Like, I look at Eric Spoelstra. I mean, I know Jimmy Butler is the best player, and he's the reason they're here, but, like, Spoelstra sets the tone, the culture. The Sixers haven't had any coach that could get, like, his voice matter more than anybody else in forever.
Yeah, it's a great point, and it's not – you're touching on the right thing, which is that it's not just a Sixers thing where this is happening, right? You look all around the league, all these teams that have sort of brought these superstars in and just let them control everything, let them make every decision – it's been a disaster, right? Like, the Nets are going to be an all-time teaching moment for teams. Or you can't just bring these guys in and let them decide who to trade for, who to hire, who to do this, do that. Same thing with the Clippers. I mean, what have they accomplished in 4 years after catering to their stars at every step? I think this is going to come full circle. And the fact that the Heat every single year outperform expectations, it's not an accident. It's a whole organizational thing. They have a backbone. They have a structure. They have an identity. And that's what I would like to see with this team, right? That's been a huge problem. I touched on it in my article. They just have no culture, and they haven't brought in winners. They haven't brought in, you know, they haven't established that identity as an organization to hold these guys accountable, have an identity year after year. And that's what they need to establish going forward.
How realistic is the interest in Houston for James Harden? Is he trying to just hold the Sixers over a barrel?
I think it's very real. Everything I've heard, I mean, the Rockets seem to be very convinced that he's coming there. You know, his family lives there. And let's be honest, this would not be out of character for James Harden, right? Everybody's saying, why would he go there? They don't have any chance of winning. When has winning been the most important thing to James Harden, right? So I think it's a legitimate, legitimate possibility. I definitely think it's not a foregone conclusion. I could easily see him being back, but yeah, everything I've heard and everything that, you know, just logically just seems to line up, it seems like a real possibility.
Mike, where are you on the Jokic-Embiid debate at this point? It was a big one during the season. I know you wrote a piece during the year on why, regular season-wise, Joel did deserve the MVP, excuse me, which he got. But now as we watch the postseason play itself out, I mean, we had Elliott Shore Parks on yesterday. He's still riding with Embiid. I'm just flabbergasted. Like, to me, Jokic is clearly the better player. Like, I can't unsee what I've seen over the past month and a half. Where are you, Jokic, Embiid?
100%. It's over. The debate is over. I mean, Jokic is in the finals. He might win a championship. Over the last 4 years, Jokic has won 7 playoff series. Joel has won 4. And obviously, Jokic could make it 8 if he wins the finals. I mean, that just speaks for itself, right? I mean, these two guys have had in my opinion, pretty equal supporting cast. I mean, some years it's one guy has a better one, other years it's the other guy. But, you know, I mean, the playoff success speaks for itself, right? And I do think there's a legitimate argument in the regular season. You know, it's such a different sport in the playoffs. You could still make the case for Embiid in the regular season. But playoffs, I mean, that debate is over. I mean, Jokic just had so much more success, and he's probably about to win a title. I mean, how could we argue for Embiid over Jokic if Jokic is the guy with the championship and Embiid's never been out of the second round?
Well, and then the other part that just drives me crazy with it is one guy shows up, like, in the biggest moments and plays. And Mike, the last two series, like, he was the best player on the court in series that feature, I would say, two of the best 15 players ever, obviously LeBron. And I think Durant deserves to be in that conversation when his career is over. Like, he was the best player on the court with those two guys. Meanwhile, Joel, I mean, how often has he been the best player on the court, win or lose, in a playoff series? It's not often.
Certainly never in the second round, right? I mean, I don't even think he was the best player in his team this year. I don't think he was the best player in his team in 2019 with Jimmy Butler. So, yeah, you're 100% right. And the other thing that you just can't ignore is the bigger picture of what that team, their identity is, right? The Nuggets have looked so tough, and they just hang on. They come back from big deficits, and they put away these teams with LeBron and KD. And Embiid's team just old year after year after year when it matters most, and the Nuggets are just the polar opposite of that. So, yeah, I don't think you can ignore that at all.
Mike, you have a sense probably better than even us, because you write for Rights to Ricky Sanchez, obviously Spike and Mike with the podcast, like Sixers fans, and it's almost like I don't want to call it a cult, but it's a very strong group of fans that are, kind of commiserate together and have for years throughout the process, and it's a cool group, and obviously you're part of that. What's your sense moving forward of this fan base and how they're going to believe or not believe anymore in this team? I feel like this year was a breaking point. Like, it's not just Joel, it's just the Sixers, where game five, when they went up 3-2, people said, you know what, finally it's happening. And I'm not sure if there's going to be the same excitement next year, assuming they're in the same spot. Like, I just think people were broken this time. What do you feel?
I agree. I sense the same thing. That article that I just wrote, I was pretty critical of Joel, and I was expecting to see a lot of negative feedback, and I really didn't get much. I mean, people, especially, even the diehards have seemed to sort of turn on him a little bit, and rightfully so. I mean, I think it makes sense to kind of change your opinion of this guy. It doesn't mean that, you curse him out the door and hope to trade him, but I think that people have changed their tune on him. And I think that this fan base, there's going to be a little bit of apathy, and there's going to be a little bit of kind of that anger of wait a minute, like we defended this guy for so many years and we stuck with him. And to see him go out the way he did in game seven, where he just did not show up. And the way that he spoke after the game did not seem disappointed. People are not going to forget that. And that's one thing I've noticed in the aftermath of all this. I mean, people are starting to kind of change their tune on Joel.
Last one for you, Mike. Mike O'Connor, Rice, Ricky Sanchez. If there was a silver lining to this whole thing, for me, it was Tyrese Maxey. I know it wasn't perfectly efficient, but they were playing the Celtics, usually a kryptonite. I just felt he went down swinging. He fought. What's your feeling on Maxey moving forward? Because it might be the silver lining for the franchise if he continues to develop at the pace he has.
Definitely. I mean, everything that we've talked about as far as, culture, identity, Maxey's the one guy who's kind of the exception to that. He's a winner. I mean, he shows up, he competes, doesn't play scared. I mean, he's got a lot of potential. I don't know if I see him as, the best player on the championship team, but I think he's going to be a really popular guy for this team to have for a long time. I mean, the fan base loves him. He's got a lot of room to grow still. So, yeah, I mean, he's that kind of silver lining, and if they do end up, letting Harden walk or maybe even trading Embiid, Maxey's a really good, like I said, a culture center to have as that guy that, you can build around moving forward.
Yeah, he was, and at least I had him down the stretch. He was fighting the whole way. Mike, appreciate you hopping on. We'll be reading over at Rice to Ricky Sanchez, and we'll catch up soon, I'm sure, during the offseason. Thank you.
Appreciate you.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate
there he
it.
Goes. Mike O'Connor. The column was really good. His point there, it's interesting. I think we've felt that, right? He said he wrote the column, he was critical of Joel, and he expected pushback. I feel like Joel really, a lot of people just, I don't know if the word is out on him, but he disappointed everyone.
Yeah. I mean, because at that point, you want to see some fight. And I know that there are still some people out there that support Joel Embiid. I get that. I'm not coming at you. But, I mean, you can't deny that. Like, going in the streets and listening to people talk,
to a man, they say all say the same thing. He looked like he quit.
Mm-hmm.
He looked like he quit. I don't know if you can honestly say he did, but it looked like he quit. When you talk about moments where other people have tried to rise to the occasion or look like they were, you know, upset, visually upset about it, he didn't look like any of that.
Yeah, he didn't. 215-592-9494. I think part of the reason I feel so strongly they can't bring back Harden and they can't pair and beat in Harden again, like, you think about the players in this town that people love the most, right? It's Jalen Hurts now. It was Brian Dawkins, Allen Iverson, Chase Utley. What do all these guys have in common?
Gritty.
Yes, right? Like, they. It Die feels hard. Like they care.
Yeah. Yeah, they wore their heart on the sleeve.
And would we ever use the Q word with those guys, the quit word?
Nah.
I could never imagine it. Like, these guys are the opposite of what this town loves. It's frustrating. James.
Toot, toot, toot. Not the toot, toot.
He didn't even quit when he changed the wording a couple nights ago.
No, this is how convicted you have to be. Shout out to my man Brian Dawkins, because he was way off beat. He did not care.
Mm-mm.
He held fast and he stayed true.
You know what I think was in Doc's head when he was singing there?
He's like, I'm gonna do my own thing.
The mic drop and fire emoji he sent you.
Yes, he did. You know, I haven't even sent him another text since then. I'm gonna let him marinate for a couple
of
days.
Yeah.
Well, don't worry. He's gonna be they put an album. There's a little album compilation together.
And I just wanna ask him, I'm gonna text him the next time I text him. I'm just going to say, hey, Doc, you want to talk about your performance?
Like a post-performance press conference?
You know what I'm saying? You know how you just give things a couple days to breathe? Like, say if it's your significant other and you have an argument and you get a little breathing room, you say, okay, now you want to talk about that performance you just had?
What he should do is he should respond with the mic drop and the fire emoji again.
Yeah. No, I would not be surprised if Doc said, what are you talking about? What do you mean?
Well, speaking of that
performance,
completely oblivious.
Speaking of that, coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, Kyle kind of hit on there. We have a special compilation coming for you. 1 o'clock hour.
We got an album coming.
Yeah, we got an album coming. This might be a platinum? I'm not sure how this
will
go.
Yeah, no refunds, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay, we have that coming. And 1 o'clock, your chance to win pair of tickets to see Kevin James, the Irregardless Tour. We'll tell you about that today. Guess the theme, the giveaway. 215-592-9494. Back to the phones here on Trey Turner. Was yesterday the turnaround for him? Yes, or you need to see more. And, of course, James Harden, do you want him back? Yes or no? James is at Glassboro. James does want James Harden back. What's up, James?
Hey, how you guys doing? I appreciate you taking my call.
What's up, James?
You got it.
Honestly, I think it would be very foolish to get rid of James Harden. I hear a lot of people calling in saying, oh, let's blow this thing up. At the end of the day, I mean, we had the assist leader. We had the MVP in the league. I think a lot of people are you know, going that classic Philly route saying, oh, we just got to burn the team, blow it up. I kind of had a thought, right? Joel Embiid is great generational talent, but he might not be the guy who can, you know, grind out a regular season, shoot for that MVP. What if we rested him a little bit more in the regular season? Because the guy was hurt in the playoffs. I mean, he did get injured. He sat for, what was it, like 9 days he didn't play?
Between the end of the Nets series and the beginning of the Celtics, yep.
I feel like that gets overlooked quite a bit. I mean, yeah, we can talk about his, you know, performance wasn't great in the Celtics series, but at the end of the day, I mean, maybe it would be a little strategic to, you know, maybe rest him a little bit more in the regular season in those earlier playoffs.
So they could do it, James. I mean, I Shaq did stuff like this where he would kind of ramp it up as the season went along. He only played 60 games some of those Lakers years. I mean, I don't think your idea is crazy on this. The only thing is, the reason I think we're not giving him being hurt a lot of attention is he's always hurt in the playoffs. I think people are tired of just like saying it. Like, oh, he's tired, he's banged up. It's every year,
and James. That's unfortunate. That's unfortunate that he's always banged up, but it's a fact. Mm-hmm. He's always banged
up. Yeah, and that's the reality of it. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, I can't bear to see the Sixers be in the bottom of the barrel again. I mean, we've been doing this for years. I think we should run it back. I think, you know, maybe move a couple pieces around, but keeping Harden and Embiid, I think we can do it. I mean, you said earlier, Joe, that, you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I mean, James Harden just got the assist title.
I think there's a difference. James, I your point on the regular season is true. Joel is an MVP. James Harden's a Hall of Famer. They're good players. I mean, James, we appreciate it. They're still good players. We had Mike on a few minutes ago, Mike O'Connor, he said it. The regular season and the postseason are like different games.
Yeah, it is. It is. And in the postseason, we need you to be a much better player than you are in the regular season. I mean, regular season is fine, but the postseason is what we're talking about. And if you have to adjust your game in order to involve everybody else, I think you should do that.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's funny. I think we as a fan base and as a city, we make fun of players in other sports that are like Harden and Embiid. We do. Like I've used the term like the Dak Prescott comparison. We laugh at Dak. We laugh at him because in the playoffs he stinks.
Dak is ass.
Exactly. But guess what? Dak Prescott's a good regular season quarterback. They win like 11 games every year. Like, isn't that what we're doing?
Yeah, but that ain't what you want though.
It's exactly.
That ain't what you want.
I mean, go look at Kirk Cousins' numbers in the regular season. Kirk puts up numbers. Is Kirk Cousins what you want?
No, because he folds like a tent. Well, when it's
exactly.
Clutch time.
But like we have a higher profile version of that here. It's just different. I don't know why we're okay with it. Route 35, Mike. What's up, Mike?
Joey, this is my first call getting out of Sixers rehab. Would you thank Rod from the station for the balloon?
Yes. What did he give you? Was it a green balloon, a red? What color balloon did you get?
I think it was, you know, dollar store half price. Happy Hanukkah.
Okay. You know what? Sometimes you got to find a deal when you can find one here.
But it's the thought. Remember, Joe, the thought.
Yes.
Number two, you guys, I all gifted you Monday at the Exeter Mall a wet T-shirt contest. I expect you there.
What time?
But then again, I don't want to see Kyle in a wet T-shirt.
No one does.
You don't want to. Yeah. Trust me.
I hear you. Okay. So I was really waiting to say this. I was going to tell Jonathan, but I'm telling you. I was thinking about, you know, the Harden thing. He's a bad influence. I mean, he's seriously, I've always talked about his character. But let's just keep it current, the playoffs. He went to Atlantic City, not Atlantic,
Vegas yep.
with Tucker during the, you know, really? And I remember Jordan getting destroyed on national television for going to the Atlantic City from New York.
Well, and Mike, here's the thing on that. Joel Embiid seems to me to be impressionable. I know he's not a kid anymore, but I think he takes some of his cues from his co-star. Like, if it always makes me wonder if Jimmy stayed here, would Joel's demeanor and work ethic and all that stuff and drive be different? But I agree with you. I mean, and Mike, the fact the stories came out that Doc Rivers, like, he bothered Harden by telling him, like, hey, we got to keep our head in this. Like, that's ridiculous.
That is absolutely ridiculous, Joe. And you know what? Seriously, you know, you got to look big picture. The Eagles have a big picture. The Phillies have a big picture. The Sixers don't have a big picture except the cash register.
And a new arena, obviously. Mike, we appreciate the phone call. I mean, Hugh, could you imagine being Doc Rivers telling James Harden, like, hey, these games really matter. We got to be focused here, and James getting annoyed at you?
That's ridiculous to me. I couldn't imagine it. I mean, because, number one, I understand that you might be a little bit upset, but you understand where it's coming from. You know, that happened to me one time. I remember we were in a meeting, and Coach Harbaugh, it was a special teams meeting, and guys were talking, and I was probably one few vets that was in the special teams meeting, and he yelled at me. Now, granted, I wasn't doing anything, but he had to make an example, and I was a little upset, and after the meeting, he was like, yo, he said, I didn't mean to yell at you, but I had to get the room back. Mm-hmm. I said, Coach, I understand. Because sometimes you have to do that because you have to set the examples. You have to set a precedent. And sometimes it's a little bit uncomfortable, but you understand. You let it go because you're doing it for the greater good. It doesn't seem like James Harden, from this story that you just told, is a greater good kind of guy.
Yeah, I just imagine Doc, right? Like, we gave Harden a time here, right? He wasn't a great Sixers coach. But Doc Rivers coached Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Ray Allen, like, especially Garnett and Allen.
He got them to buy in.
And those guys, they lived and breathed basketball. Like, Kevin Garnett was in the gym the whole time. Like, Ray Allen used to have those famous things where he'd shoot, like, 1,000 jump shots before the game. Like, those guys cared. He must have looked at James Harden like, are you kidding me, man?
Well, what we need is a guy who's going to get on him. And then 2 minutes later, because what Hugh left out with that story is that his coach then kissed him on the lips. And so
I don't recall that part of the story.
Well,
yeah, that part was left out.
I put that part in there for you.
Yeah, a little editorializing.
No, but you understand. Like, sometimes you have to be made an example out of for everybody else to get it. I call it penitentiary prison rule. You know, sometimes when you go to jail, you got to go whoop the biggest dude in the jail. You got to punch him in the face, man. And you can't let him take your cornbread. Those are the two biggest rules in jail.
Well, maybe if it's Nick Nurse, he'd come in here and start punching people and taking cornbread. T's in South Philly. What's up, T?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, buddy?
What's going on, man?
Yeah, it's Daryl Morey and Harden relationship that got us in this bind. you know, because I believe we should have got the boy Halliburton and all them deals that we had on the table for Ben Simmons back then. That's where you messed up at, his love for Harden. And then the Harden thing, though, like, and then B, like, he going to have to come back. And B is the problem, for real, because the whole time we've been here, it been in B. You said it one time a little while ago on the phone. Look at his body language. This dude, he just not fit for this being in our city. You know what I mean? Like, he act like it's like an acting thing. He act like he built, but he's really not built. And then I also believe them international players like Giannis and Embiid, not no Jokic and Luka, but Giannis and Wishkong, they starting to get Americanized. They starting to get lazy. Now they taking days off. I remember when Embiid was, when he first came into the league, he was out there fighting Cousins, the Twins. He was out there ready to. He was arguing on social media with Drummond. He was a hard person. He just started getting lazy and start realizing that he don't got to do nothing no more. Like, I'm gonna just get this free money and I'm just gonna go out there and fake it.
Well,
like,
and then it bothered me. I'm sure you saw it. The smirk when he hugged Tatum at the end of Game 7. Like, it's annoying. Like, what are we doing?
Listen. All right, Harden. The reason why I say they can work together, and I'm gonna say this, like, y'all might not want them together, but we're gonna have to put them together. But this is the reason why they can work together. Embiid gotta get toward the role. When they do that pick and roll, he gotta roll. Like, Harden used to somebody rolling. When do you see Embiid ever?
No, he wants to stand the top of the key and shoot a jumper. T, we appreciate it, man. It's a good call. I mean, I look, they work in the regular season. They're not winning a title together. 215-592-9494. It's how you hop aboard here. Do you want Harden back? Yes or no? We'll get to everyone on the phone lines. And Trey Turner, yesterday, was that the moment? Was that the beginning of the turnaround? Do you believe the turnaround's here, or do you need to see more? We'll hit all your phone calls. And Rob Thompson, he clarified. Howard Eskin pushed him. Do you really think this team's winning 95 games? Topper clarified what he meant yesterday with the Cameron Ritchie. 215-592-9494. It's how you hop aboard right here on the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.